He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It is the 5th of November, the day before Election Day. And I'm sure the market will be glad to get that behind us, a little bit more certainty moving forward. In the meantime, we have a split market here this morning. We have the Dow up, we have the NASDAQ down. And it's about equivalent here to the upside and the downside, with the Dow up 70 points this morning at 25,341 and the NASDAQ down 70 points. How do you like that? That's called bifurcated. The NASDAQ is down 70. It's at 72.88. Apple and Amazon both taking a hit today. The S&P 500, in the meantime, is remaining neutral. No, it's leaning towards the Dow right now. The S&P is up 1 point today. I know the energy stocks are having a fairly good day on a forecast of a cold winter. There you go. Bundle up. This is the Best Stocks Now radio hour. The Russell 2000 is slightly up today, 2 points. That works out to 0.2%. Crude oil is up 42 cents. I know that natural gas is making a big move today. I want to say it's up about 8%. We'll check in on natural gas here in a bit. Meanwhile, crude oil again up 42 cents, 63.56. Gold pretty quiet today, up a dime. $1,233. That's a neighborhood that gold has been hanging out in a long, long time. $1,200 per ounce. Silver is down 7 cents, and it's been hanging out in the $14.68 area for quite some time. The euro is flat today against what has been a very strong dollar. And the 10-year yield, which got smashed on Friday after that better-than-expected jobs report, backing off just a little, but we're still at 3.19. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, broadcasting today from Charleston, South Carolina, where we just had a pretty good, nice little rain come through, but it's a warm rain here in Charleston. Next Monday, I'll be leaving for Sarasota. I will be in Sarasota on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. That's the 13th, 14th, and 15th. Wednesday and Thursday are completely full on my appointment calendar, but I do have some openings on Tuesday the 13th. If you would like to grab one of those, I will be at the Westin Hotel right smack dab in the middle of downtown Sarasota. You can't miss it. It's gigantic. It dominates that waterfront there. You can give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or go to the website at Gunderson Capital if you'd like to grab one of those appointments that are left on Tuesday. Thursday, I'll be speaking to the American Association of Individual Investors, Sarasota chapter, at 4 p.m. You can go to their website, or you can see the link on my website as to how you can register for their event that they are putting on that they have invited me to. Then in December the 3rd, that's a Monday, I'll be speaking in Sun City West. The Sun City West event is a private event. Nobody, unless you know somebody in the investment club there in Sun City, Arizona, maybe you can sneak in. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you to sneak in, but it will be at 4 p.m. No, I think it's in the evening. Then Tuesday, Wednesday, I am available for appointments in Scottsdale if you'd like to meet with me. We will be at the McDowell Mountain Marriott hanging out and cooling our heels, and we have appointments open there. That's the first week of December, all right? And I am planning a workshop there in Scottsdale for my people. I don't know if that's Wednesday or Thursday night. I'm waiting to get a confirmation from my chief operating officer, who I take my cue from, whether it will be Wednesday or Thursday at the McDowell Mountain Marriott. All right. Well, we got to turn back to Friday before we sink our teeth into a new week here. Number one, we begin the day. I have only have 55 B-plus or better stocks in my Best Stocks Now app. This continues to show an extremely weak market that's recovering from a bad case of the flu. I still do not see any signs of a U.S. recession on the horizon, nor do I see any downgrades to earnings. In fact, when we get in to how this earnings season is going so far, I was shocked on Friday when I saw where we're at currently with this current earnings season. We've also had a lot of tumult here in October, a lot of angst over the elections, over China, over this and over that, and it's been a very wild ride in October. I would say that there was a disconnect in October between the actual fundamentals of the market and the way the market was behaving. But you know what? The market is known to throw temper tantrums in the month of October, and it threw one, 10%, a 10% temper tantrum in the S&P 500. I think it was actually 9.9 from the high to the low. Most people, including myself, think we've seen the low. Doesn't mean we're not going to go back down and test that low once again. But I believe that a low has been formed, and I'll give you my reasons why as the show progresses today. Back on Tuesday of last week, I believe that low was put in. Well, nevertheless, Friday was a crazy day in the market. We had a big jump out of the gate. President Trump made it sound like there was a pending deal with China, and then all of a sudden it turned into another rout that was led downwards by the NASDAQ and Apple, and Larry Kudlow throwing water on the China trade deal chatter. Larry Kudlow said, "We're not on the cusp of a deal." Well, then when he said that, then the markets turned right around and went down for the day. Pass the Dramamine, please. Well, where do we start this week on China? Well, we start with President Trump saying that he's very encouraged about a deal in China. He'll be having dinner with President Xi on November 20th, and hopefully something will come from that. In the meantime, the market is taking a wait-and-see attitude here, and the market would like to see how the election goes tomorrow. Most people predicting that the Republicans will lose the House but gain seats in the Senate. The market does like gridlock. The worst-case scenario for the market, according to most pundits out there, would be the Republicans losing both the House and the Senate, which would then lead to more anti-business or non-pro-business types of platforms coming back into the market. But Trump's still positive on China trade. Election day is tomorrow. I will be glad to see it come and go. And I will also be glad to see my fellow Americans exercise their freedom and right to vote. Okay, we got to talk about Apple next. What is going on there? I do not own Apple. I sold Apple before their earnings report last Thursday. Apple is leading the NASDAQ lower again today. In fact, believe it or not, Apple has broke now the $200 level. Now, I had a line in the sand up around 212. My sell stop hit when that stock dipped below that line in the sand. Today, believe it or not, Apple is now trading at 199 per share, and the sell-off is quickening here. It's gathering steam. Now, Apple was at 233 when we began the freaky, frenetic month of October, and now it's at 199. So that's a 34% drop. That's about a 14 to 15% correction in Apple since its high in early October, hitting 199 per share today, as they gave soft holiday guidance. And of course, the stocks that are associated with Apple, the Skyworks and the Qorvos of the world, they're also sinking along with Apple. I do not own any semiconductor stocks. I do not own Apple. When we come back, we've got to talk about what happened to the bond market on Friday, all right? This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. We're all in different stages of the investment cycle. Some of us are younger and at the beginning of that cycle. These folks can afford to take more risk, but it is so important to get started out on the right foot. If you start feeding the kitty early and keeping the kitty in all the right places, the power of compound interest is one of the strongest forces in the universe. We call this the accumulation phase of our lives. Others of us need to start toning things down a bit, but still need growth. These folks cannot afford to take a big hit like the ones that the market delivered in 2001 and in 2008. Then there are those of us that need safe money. Traditionally, this has been the bond market, but we are now in a rising interest rate environment, so we need to seek alternatives. In addition to this, it is time to start taking income from our accounts. We call this the distribution phase. If you're nearing retirement or in retirement, give us a call about the distribution phase of your investing life. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST.
Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
The stock market has never been busier or harder to keep up with. One day biotechs are hot. The next day they are not. High tech is down. Low tech is up. And what about bonds and your 401k? So many questions coming faster than ever. But now you can keep up by subscribing to the Best Stocks Now podcast. Take it with you wherever you go. The Best Stocks Now podcast comes to you from the headquarters of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationally recognized firm that handles over $100 million in assets, not a newsroom. That is why the Best Stocks Now podcast is one of the most popular shows of its kind, and why you see Bill Gunderson so often on so many national financial news shows. Just subscribe one time and it's delivered automatically to your smartphone or computer every day. And don't tell your accountant, but it's free and easy to find at pwstreet.com. pwstreet.com, the Best Stocks Now podcast. Don't miss a thing. Get it now.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Well, that strong jobs report was one of those good news is bad news for the bond market for sure on Friday. And of course, when the bond market gets rattled, the stock market has a tendency to get rattled also. The bond market sold off wickedly on Friday when the jobs report came in much hotter than expected. If you look at a representative ETF like a TLT, which leans more towards the longer end of the U.S. Treasuries, it hit a new 52-week low on Friday, having one of its worst days in a long, long time. And the U.S. market continues, or the U.S. bond market continues to be underwater by quite a bit here in 2018. And I believe it's only going to get worse, which really douses a lot of cold water on the asset allocators, which I am not a fan of. Now, what about the U.S. economy? What about earnings? Why do I say that there seems to be a disconnect between the behavior of the market here in October and the fundamentals of the market? Now, this happens all the time, all right? And eventually, fundamentals win out, but I don't argue with the market. That's why I enter today with a continued very high cash position until things settle down a little bit. Now, having said that, here's what the fundamentals. Have the fundamentals gotten worse during the month of October, or have they gotten better? Well, I'll let you be the judge. I'm a numbers guy. I listen a lot to the pundits on the financial channels, but in the end, I really let the numbers and the pictures of the stocks that they're tracing out, that's what I use to make my decisions. So far, here we go, 74% of the companies in the S&P 500, so roughly 370 companies out of 500 have now reported their earnings for the third quarter of 2018, which ended about 5 weeks ago. 78% have beat their earnings estimates. Okay, that's a good number, 78%. We've been running at about that number here for quite some time, for many quarters. 61% have beat their revenue estimates. Now, I would say if you're looking for any weakness here in these reports that have been coming in, you could point to several companies that have disappointed on the sales side of the ledger. Amazon would be the most notable example of that. Apple would be another notable example. But having said that, 78% of the companies beating their earnings estimates and 61% beating their revenue estimates is no sign of any slowdown in revenue growth for the S&P 500. Now, here's an even more telling statistic. This is the one that jumped off the page and grabbed me by the throat on Friday and said, look at this, all right? When we started this earnings season, the consensus estimate for earnings growth for the quarter, third quarter versus the same third quarter last year was for 19.5%. Now, that's a very good number, but it's not the 25% we had the previous quarter. Well, now, with just 2 weeks to go in earnings season, or with just a few more companies to report, we're going to get, 77 this week? That number has gone from 19.5, it's jumped all the way to 24.9%. Let me say that again. For Q3 2018, which ended back on October 31st and is now being reported, analysts are now projecting earnings growth of 24.9%. This compares to 19.5% just 2 weeks ago. That's a massive, massive jump in earnings expectations. Now, that's not any kind of an indication of a slowdown in S&P 500 earnings. And why is that so important to watch? Because since 2009, S&P 500 earnings have been growing every year. Look, I'm just a numbers guy. I watch those earnings. I track them. I create a simple bar chart that we learned in, what, 9th, 10th grade, something like that. And that bar chart has been going up every single year since 2009. And the stock market has followed that bar chart, those earnings. And now it's looking ahead to the next 2 years. Okay, is that bar chart going to continue to rise? Is the tide going to continue to come in on the earnings for the S&P 500? Or have we finally hit high tide and now we're starting to recede? Well, there's no sign of that right now, none whatsoever. In fact, we're now getting a look at 2020. Yes, that's right. That's not your vision. That's a year, 2020, coming up. Just around the corner, not too far from now. What, 13 months out? We're into 2020. We now have projections for 2020, which I published in my newsletter. There's one well-known analyst, market watcher out there, that now has projections for the S&P 600 small cap index, the S&P 500 large cap index, and the S&P 400 mid cap index clear out to 2020. Peak earnings are not happening this year. Peak earnings are not happening next year. At least the expectations are for peak earnings. And in 2020, they're expected to grow again. And most analysts now have target prices on the S&P 500 somewhere north of 3,000. So there's the fundamental side of the picture. The technical side of the picture remains very weak, however. And as I've said many times, the two run hand in hand. I require both. Okay, even though I'm wildly bullish on the fundamental side of the market, I also don't argue with the market. I see what's going on with it. But I think in the end, in fact, I believe there's an extremely high probability that these earnings are going to eventually win out. And if you can get the elections behind us, which will happen tomorrow, and if there's progress made and a resolution in sight for the China-U.S. trade deal, we are still in a bull market. And we will see an S&P 500 above 3,100, 3,000, somewhere in there. But in the meantime, we continue to clean out some negative sentiment. Like I say, I saw a disconnect between the market. Now, there were certain stocks that deserved to sell off. But overall, when you have earnings growing by 24.9% quarter over quarter and beating the previous estimate of only 19.6%, how bullish is that from a fundamental point of view? And one last thing I would throw in is the current valuation of the market. The current forward PE of the S&Ps currently stands at 15.6. This is well below the five-year average of 16.4, and I believe it can get back into the 17 to 18 range. But right now it's soft because of some sentiment on the market. So there you go. There's the macro picture. We'll be right back.
When you lose power for a whole day due to a storm, it can seem endless. But there's a new kind of storm brewing, one that could target our nation's power grid and turn off the power not just for days, but months, or even longer. Would you be prepared? Veteran news anchor Ted Koppel's new book, Lights Out, details this exact scenario It's why many Americans are securing their own solar-powered generators to provide an endless supply of life-saving electricity without gas, fumes, or noise. When it comes to lightweight and powerful solar generators, the breakthrough Patriot Power Generator 1500 has it all, providing up to 1,500 continuous watts of clean, quiet, and free renewable solar power. You'll be able to power heat and lights, preserve food, recharge cell phones and computers, and keep critical medical devices going day after day, all from rechargeable solar power. If a blackout strikes, be protected with the power you need when you need it most. The Patriot Power Generator 1500. For all of the details, just go to blackout26.com. That's blackout26.com. Blackout26.com.
We're all in different stages of the investment cycle. Some of us are younger and at the beginning of that cycle. These folks can afford to take more risk, but it is so important to get started out on the right foot. If you start feeding the kitty early and keeping the kitty in all the right places, the power of compound interest is one of the strongest forces in the universe. We call this the accumulation phase of our lives. Others of us need to start toning things down a bit, but still need growth. These folks cannot afford to take a big hit like the ones that the market delivered in 2001 and in 2008. Then there are those of us that need safe money. Traditionally, this has been the bond market, but we are now in a rising interest rate environment, so we need to seek alternatives. In addition to this, it is time to start taking income from our accounts. We call this the distribution phase. If you're nearing retirement or in retirement, give us a call about the distribution phase of your investing life. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST.
The stock market has never been busier or harder to keep up with. One day biotechs are hot, the next day they are not. High tech is down, low tech is up. And what about bonds and your 401k? So many questions coming faster than ever. But now you can keep up by subscribing to the Best Stocks Now podcast. Take it with you wherever you go. The Best Stocks Now podcast comes to you from the headquarters of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationally recognized firm that handles over $100 million in assets, not a newsroom. That is why the Best Stocks Now podcast is one of the most popular shows of its kind, and why you see Bill Gunderson so often on so many national financial news shows. Just subscribe one time and it's delivered automatically to your smartphone or computer every day. And don't tell your accountant, but it's free and easy to find at pwstreet.com. PWStreet.com, the Best Stocks Now podcast. Don't miss a thing. Get it now.
Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com. There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now radio. The rout in Apple continues, which has now broken the 200 level down to 198. I no longer own Apple. I sold it before the earnings announcement that they made on Thursday. So, you know, that's the way I do things. I manage things very conscious, very tightly here at Gunderson Capital Management. Okay, the election tomorrow, all right? What are the potential outcomes? What are the percentage of the outcomes? And what will it mean for the market on Wednesday and the rest of the year? Well, Hype Capital Markets, which I follow, they seem to have a pretty keen interest in all of this, and they're pretty good about putting out forecasts. Hype Capital Markets issues its latest election forecast before tomorrow's voting in the U.S. They continue to put the odds at 55% that the Democrats win a majority of the House and the Republicans maintain a majority in the Senate in tomorrow's midterm elections. That seems to be the most popular and the most likely scenario. Now, we don't know. Polls were wrong. Polls have been known to be wrong in the past. Hyde Capital is not doing a poll. They're just putting a percentage. They've got their actuaries at work and their quants and their number guys. And they say a 55% chance that Democrats win back the House and Republicans maintain a majority in the Senate. Now, what about the other scenarios? They give the odds of the Republicans keeping a majority in the House and the Senate. They're doing 30% probability, okay? 30% probability, which is pretty low. They're more optimistic than most. Other polls go as high as an 86% likelihood that the Democrats capture the House. Now, the final scenario would be that the Republicans lose both chambers, the Senate and the House. Hyde Capital gives that only a 15% chance of a Democratic sweep. So those are the odds. What would the market like? Well, just as a market participant, putting all politics aside, the market would like to see the Republicans keep both the House and the Senate because they feel like that's a pro-business, that Trump's pro-business agenda will remain in place, no threats to it. But I don't think the market's going to be too upset with the split. The Democrats were to regain the House and the Republicans were to maintain the Senate. The market doesn't really have a hard time with gridlock. They kind of like gridlock, okay? One side offsets the other side and we're not going to get any new regulations or new legislation or new laws. There's a counterbalance to anything the Democrats try to do. There's a counterbalance to anything the Republicans. The market kind of likes that. Status quo, no surprises. The worst scenario as far as the market's concerned is obviously the 15% chance of a Democratic sweep. Then the market sees, well, I guess more pro, less pro-business agenda. In fact, probably an anti-business agenda. In fact, Maxine Waters said, look, when I get back, when we win back the House and I'm in charge of this finance committee, I'm going to do to Wall Street what they did to us. Okay, I don't think the market likes that scenario at all. So there you go. We'll be watching tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a long day. It will be a much anticipated day. And it will definitely have an impact on your 401k one way or the other. That's why I report on news like this. Now, the chart of the day, okay? The chart of the day is UNG. The ugly chart of the day is Apple. The most unbelievable chart of the day is UNG. What is UNG, Gunderson? Well, it is United States Natural Gas Fund. It's an ETF that tracks the price of natural gas. It corresponds to the change in price of natural gas delivered at the Henry Hub in Louisiana. Now, we just drove through that neck of the woods not too long ago. Stopped in for some great Cajun evening in Lafayette. watching one of the great Cajun bands of all time. Man, it was fantastic. Eating some good Creole and that kind of stuff. Good old Cajun food. Well, the United States Natural Gas Fund, ETF, UNG, is up 7.4% today. It's breaking out. And in fact, I have noted, I'm not one to really invest one way or the other in commodities because I just find them to be totally unpredictable. A logical mind like mine can't get my head around, you know, what's going to drive natural gas higher, what's going to drive natural gas lower. In the end, it's all about supply and demand, and that's awfully hard to predict. I'll let the commodity traders deal with that. I can sink my teeth into earnings and sales and revenues and profit margins and return on equity. But how do you predict the price of natural gas? Well, look, just a couple of days ago, UNG was ranked number 65 overall in my Best Stocks Now app out of 5,100. 65 overall, just what, a week ago? Is that three? No, it was last Friday. Okay, last Friday. And today it's up 7.4%. Why is natural gas popping today? Well, according to the Weather Channel, okay, now tune to the weather. As you are a market participant, well, the Weather Channel does have a lot to do with the market, believe it or not. Droughts, soybean crops, oil wells getting blown apart in hurricanes, but the Weather Channel says a blast of cold temperatures this week will be accompanied by a chance for accumulating snow in parts of the plains and Midwest later in the week. Well, I've got a son-in-law and his wife currently in Fort Sill, Oklahoma. Oh boy, I bet it's going to get cold there. Another front is expected to move through the central and eastern U.S. late this week, reinforcing the cold conditions and bringing the chance for rain and snow. Well, invest in natural gas, okay? You got Chesapeake roaring today. You've got Range Resources roaring today. You've got Cabot Oil and Gas roaring today. And the price of natural gas, UNG, for all of you who use natural gas to heat your home, is spiking today up 8%. All right, let's get into some earnings here. Let's get into some analyst moves. Apple is reported to have told its suppliers, hey, just stop the production for now. Although Apple said it would do away with iPhone projections, we have estimates coming in from elsewhere. According to the Nikkei, Foxconn has told, or Apple has told its smartphone assemblers to halt plans for additional production lines dedicated to the recently launched iPhone XR. In other words, the demand is not that great. And that's why you are continuing to see a sell-off in Apple. Now let's look at the other FANG stocks. But wait, before we leave Apple, Rosenblatt Securities downgrades Apple from buy to neutral. Now, you want to buy a neutral? Do you want to go to a taco shop with a C rating? And reiterates its $200 target price. $200! That's where it is right now. Now let's move to Amazon. Okay, Amazon is ratcheting up its holiday sales battle. And by the way, I do no longer own Amazon. They are offering free shipping with no purchase minimum. In other words, if you order something for 99 cents, you'll get free shipping. Now, I don't know how long this deal is for, but it's a U.S.-only promotion that waives the $25 minimum needed for customers outside the Prime Loyalty Club. This is the first time they have offered no purchase minimum in the holiday season. The deal lasts until Amazon can no longer promise items in time for Christmas, which typically takes 5 to 8 days. Well, Amazon, one of the reasons they sold off recently was their shipping costs are rising. And now they're announcing free shipping, which means that's also going to cut into their profits and into their margins. And that's another reason. Let's take a look. Let's check in on Amazon. I do not have Amazon in my portfolio. It's down 3.7%, part of the NASDAQ sell-off along with Apple. Amazon remains in a very poor or a very strong downtrend. It has support at 1,500. It's at 1,600 right now. But when we come back, there's another reason why Apple is taking it on, or Amazon is taking it on the chin today. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
This is Bill Gunderson, professional money manager and chief investment officer at Gunderson Capital Management. Many of my listeners are still in the accumulation phase of their lives. They continue to contribute to their retirement or savings accounts. Along with their contributions, they still need for their portfolios to grow. They need to be in the best asset classes for growth now. They don't have time to miss 9-year bull markets or be in the wrong places. I manage both an aggressive growth and a conservative growth portfolio for these folks. It seeks out the best growth stocks that I can find at any given point in time. These portfolios are carefully tended to by me on a daily basis. These two portfolios are also unconstrained. They are active, not passive. They can go anywhere in the world to find the best growth opportunities. At times, they may be in cash or have some inverse hedges if I think that the market is too expensive or the economy is headed into recession. Is your main objective still accumulation or growth? I'm on it. Contact us at GundersonCapital.com or call us at 855-611-BEST. We're all in different stages of the investment cycle. Some of us are younger and at the beginning of that cycle. These folks can afford to take more risk, but it is so important to get started out on the right foot. If you start feeding the kitty early and keeping the kitty in all the right places, the power of compound interest is one of the strongest forces in the universe. We call this the accumulation phase of our lives. Others of us need to start toning things down a bit, but still need growth. These folks cannot afford to take a big hit like the ones that the market delivered in 2001 and in 2008. Then there are those of us that need safe money. Traditionally, this has been the bond market, but we are now in a rising interest rate environment, so we need to seek alternatives. In addition to this, it is time to start taking income from our accounts. We call this the distribution phase. If you're nearing retirement or in retirement, give us a call about the distribution phase of your investing life. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST.
The stock market has never been busier or harder to keep up with. One day biotechs are hot. The next day they are not. High tech is down. Low tech is up. And what about bonds and your 401k? So many questions coming faster than ever. But now you can keep up by subscribing to the Best Stocks Now podcast. Take it with you wherever you go. The Best Stocks Now podcast comes to you from the headquarters of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationally recognized firm that handles over $100 million in assets, not a newsroom. That is why the Best Stocks Now podcast is one of the most popular shows of its kind and why you see Bill Gunderson so often on so many national financial news shows. Just subscribe one time and it's delivered automatically to your smartphone or computer every day. And don't tell your accountant, but it's free and easy to find at pwstreet.com. PWStreet.com, the Best Stocks Now podcast. Don't miss a thing. Get it now.
When you lose power for a whole day due to a storm, it can seem endless. But there's a new kind of storm brewing, one that could target our nation's power grid and turn off the power not just for days, but months or even longer. Would you be prepared? Veteran news anchor Ted Koppel's new book, Lights Out, details this exact scenario. It's why many Americans are securing their own solar-powered generators to provide an endless supply of life-saving electricity without gas, fumes, or noise. When it comes to lightweight and powerful solar generators, the breakthrough Patriot Power Generator 1500 has it all, providing up to 1,500 continuous watts of clean, quiet, and free renewable solar power. You'll be able to power heat and lights, preserve food, recharge cell phones and computers, and keep critical medical devices going day after day, all from rechargeable solar power. If a blackout strikes, be protected with the power you need when you need it most. The Patriot Power Generator 1500. For all of the details, just go to blackout26.com. That's blackout26.com. Blackout26.com.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. A lot going on, obviously, in the market, as usual today. Here's the other spike in Amazon's chart here today, into the downside. Taking aim at U.S. tech giants, President Trump said his administration was looking at antitrust proceedings against Amazon, Google, and Facebook. Well, there you go. There's the fan in Fang. And Trump is obviously no fan of Fang. Now, he's not saying he's going to do anything, but I think this has been hanging over the heads of these large, too big to fail, too big to exist. I don't know what you want to call it. They have become mighty dominant companies, especially Amazon. And Trump has mentioned before, he has used the word antitrust. And once again, he taking aim at the U.S. tech giants. President Trump said his administration was looking at antitrust proceedings against Amazon, Google, and Facebook. Now, he doesn't mention Apple or Netflix. But the other three continue to be extremely weak. Let's just check in real quickly. I do not own Facebook anymore. Facebook is down 1.8% today. Netflix is actually just down, it's down about 1% today. And Google, which has been under heavy pressure, I have no position in Google. Google is in a terrible downtrend. Beginning at $1,291 back in mid-July, Google is now down to $1,042 after visiting $1,000 recently. That's a very, very steep, that's about a 25% correction on Alphabet. I keep calling it Google. I'll always call it Google, but that has been a steep correction on that stock. Okay, a few others here. GE again. You know, it never fails. It seems like there's bad news on GE every single day. It's now at $9.33. I'm sure Jeffrey Immelt's living in some palace somewhere, still collecting his golden parachute, as another analyst now warns of more tax trouble for GE. Well, Starbucks, I think we got to mention Starbucks, and then we'll get to Warren Buffett here. Starbucks had a huge day on Friday. Starbucks bounded up, and it's following through today with more gains. There seems to be plenty of strength in a caffeinated consumer right now. Starbucks bucking the trend. It is a member of the NASDAQ. It's one of those four-letter symbols, SBUX. It's up another 3/4 to 64.81 after being up about 10% last Friday. Meanwhile, guess who's reported earnings? Berkshire Hathaway has reported earnings. That's Warren Buffett's little venture, which has now grown to $534 billion. I don't think he'll live to see it to be $1 trillion, but who knows? Maybe his successors will. Berkshire Hathaway having a very good day today. It's up 3.4% as Berkshire Hathaway beats its consensus estimate. As far as I know, Berkshire is not in any indexes. They had a good investment gain on their investments, and they had very solid operations. Okay, well, a couple more here. Buybacks. We're starting to see the buybacks come back. Remember, a lot of companies were in the quiet mode, especially during the beginning of October. Well, now companies are back. Almost daily, I see several companies announcing buybacks. Today, it's STM Electronics. That's a chip stock that I used to own. I don't own it. I sold it a long time ago. What a horrible, ugly downtrend that thing has been in since early June of this year, when really the chip stock started to lead the technology stocks south. But needless to say, STM will be buying back their stock and launching a share buyback program of up to $750 million in coming weeks and months at this level. And one last one here today. I mentioned last week the record number of biotechs going public this year, which I think is not going to end well for the biotech sector in general. I think there will continue to be a lot of individual biotech winners, and I root for them as much as I possibly can. But I think all these $5 to $10 biotechs that have taken advantage of a very strong, voracious, all-you-can-eat almost appetite, golden corral-type feeding at the trough of the small biotechs. Seems to be just, an insatiable appetite for risk in buying these small companies. And I think that the biotech sector, which is represented by a couple ETFs, IBB would be one, and there's other biotech ETFs, exchange-traded funds, that own a number of these biotechs, in some cases hundreds of them. I don't think it's going to end well for the biotech sector. And there's a couple of upside-down ETFs. ZBIO and BIS are the two that come to mind that go the opposite way. Now, I don't think that time has come yet, but I do think that this will be a very weak spot at some point in time when we start to head into a recession here in the U.S. and when the stock market starts to head into a bear market, which is inevitable. It will do it at some point in time. All right. Well, if you missed the newsletter, I put a lot of work into it. It went out Saturday afternoon, late afternoon. You can get my weekly newsletter, which is my research, internal research that I do on the market every week so that I'm on top of everything and I share it with you. You can go to my website at GundersonCapital.com to pick up a couple of weeks of the newsletter. If you'd like to make an appointment with me in Sarasota next Tuesday, we have some openings. That's the 13th, November the 13th at the Westin Hotel in downtown Sarasota. And then on December the 2nd, December the 3rd through 6th, I'll be in sunny Scottsdale, Arizona, and we have openings there also. We're starting to take reservations and appointments for a workshop that we'll hold there. It's either Wednesday or Thursday, the 5th or 6th of December. I'll have an answer for you tomorrow. But appointments available will be at the McDowell Mountain Marriott. All right? This is Bill Gunderson. This has been the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.